Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Simply Safe, been making people feel safe at home for 15 years. Go to simplysafecolin.com today. Customize your system. Get a free security camera. LeVar Arrington, 7 years in the NFL. Half of them, he was a Pro Bowler, Washington and the Giants. And speak for yourself. This morning was on First Things First. We're keeping you busy in the off season, which, by the way, has pivoted quickly to the season. Mm-hmm. So Aaron yesterday holds a press conference, and he goes for 30 minutes. And
he dropped the hammer.
He did. So
the encore.
Anything he say bother you?
No. In fact, and Joy will tell you this, I have all along been saying what Aaron Rodgers laid out so well in his press conference is what I was thinking he was plotting, planning, executing to do all along. He wants people to understand and know that the value of the stock of the Green Bay Packers belongs with Aaron Rodgers. How are you going to get rid of the stock? And I am the stock. To get rid of me is to get rid of the value that Green Bay is. And that's what he basically drove home in that press conference yesterday.
I thought he was very smart. Maybe it's cunning that he said, basically, I love the operation. I want to be totally committed to it. But if you're not committed to me, I want. So I think that goes a long way with fans.
He put it in there. He put the ball in their court.
Yeah. Hey, I want to be more committed. You won't let me be more committed. If I'm a regular guy in Green Bay,
I'm like, why don't you commit to him? Then he gives you, Cullen, then he so eloquently puts out there, look at my resume. Look at my experience. He's basically passively letting you know, I have the experience. I have the relationships. I would love to be able to pass relationship information here, pass it back over to there. Why are you not utilizing me in this way?
Yeah. So now, Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, spoke this morning.
Of course, okay. He did.
He had a very interesting. There's a way to say something. There's two different ways to write the same story. A journalist once told me that you can write the same story two different ways. Mm-hmm. So Randall Cobb, who was a Pro Bowler 7 years ago, diminishing player, injuries, missed 14 games, 3 years. He's fine, but he's a big cap hit in a salary cap league for a team up against the cap. Mm-hmm. It's like a $9 million cap hit, $10 million. Mm-hmm. It's not a move. Most teams, nobody would make this move. And I thought it was interesting this morning. Listen to the Packer GM. Here it is.
You guys made the decision after the 18th season not to bring him back in free agency. Is he really just here to make Aaron happy? Is that primarily the...
I think that's a big part of it. I think it's a big, you know, obviously without Aaron, I don't think we would probably be pursuing that. Randall's still a really good player. And seeing him last night just kind of reminded me, you know, what an impact he'll have in our locker room. For our football team, but you know, this was a very important thing for Aaron, and that's why we did it.
To me, what he was doing, he was speaking to all the other general managers in the league, saying, "This is not my call. I know he's expensive. I know he's no longer great." He was saying, "This is." He said it to start it and end it. This mm-hmm. is Aaron's move. Mm-hmm. This is not my move. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the year, if he gets hurt again, and you're paying him $10 million. He can go, this is Aaron's. That was my takeaway. It wasn't a shot at Aaron, but it was I'm going to protect my brand a little here too. This is not a move I would make.
Here's the brilliance of the adversarial approach to what's taking place. Aaron Rodgers has put them, the front office of Green Bay, in a corner. Backs against the wall in a corner. And you... Depending on who you are, they might have their noses in the corner. They might not even have their back to the wall. But he left it open for reconciliation. Here comes your GM. This is important to Aaron. So not only does he distance himself, reputationally speaking, but you're also appeasing Aaron Rodgers, and you're appeasing the idea that Aaron Rodgers is saying, I just want to reconcile. He also was quoted as saying, Aaron deserves a seat at the table. He deserves a say. This is well played by Gutekunst.
Yeah, Brian Gutekunst.
Gutekunst.
Yeah.
What a name, yeah. Right? I think it's well played by him, but I also look at it as this is now the start of, if it goes well, the reconciliation is beautiful. You move forward. Aaron Rodgers has a say. Green Bay, all is well. If it goes bad, we put it on Aaron. Look at how the season went. We have to move on. Aaron says, it went bad. You took too long to let me come to the table. You give me my guy. Like, you give me Randall Cobb. Like, you could have been getting players all along with me. It's time for me to go.
So they both have given each other an exit strategy.
They both have given each other a win.
By the way, the one non-Packers story that's interesting.
Okay.
So Michael Thomas,
yes,
did a little bit of a Scottie Pippen.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to get surgery on my clock. And Sean Payton yesterday called him out. So he's going to miss six games. So this is a team that didn't have a quarterback, had to give up multiple players.
I'm aware.
To get under the cap.
Mm-hmm.
This is a rebuilding year for the Saints. They don't want to say it publicly, but in that division, they have no chance to win that division with Tampa. So last year, I felt Michael Thomas and the Saints, it was strained. It was weird. Why? He got the money. Like, what? I mean, have you ever been in did you have a strained relationship at one point with Washington?
Colin, are you being serious?
It was
right
very
now?
Strained.
Oh,
how bad?
I gave $2 million plus back. I would never play another down and work for the owner of that team. Not one more day.
So when you're going through a strained relationship, did it affect your play?
They didn't play me. And I did what any person in that situation that's humble and has been a leader for so long until things went wrong. Because mine was a contractual fallout, and I had nothing to do with it. They messed up the contract. I'm trying to help the team, and it's a 24-hour contract getting done based upon all of the moving parts. And the agent and the franchise messed up on a couple pieces of I had nothing to do with it. It wasn't even like I'm like, give me my money type of thing. It wasn't any. I just wanted them to fix it and let's keep moving. It became a public thing, and I became a target by the franchise. So did it impact my play? I went out there and I played scout team. You want me on special teams? I'm gonna play special teams. I just had a humble approach to it because I knew it wasn't my doing. And if I wasn't going to get a fair opportunity to maintain my job, I'm still here every day.
Yeah,
I was upset and I was hurt, and it really shined a light on the business of what the professional level is.
Michael Thomas's issue is he's getting the looks, he's getting the catches, he's getting the money.
See, I feel like there's conflicting reports out there because I was under the impression from the information that I was looking at that this was a let's wait and see, let's walk it slow, let's not rush into a surgery, let's see if we can heal it, you know, without it being evasive with surgery. And it was more of a collective decision, like everybody with the training staff, even the GM, I from what I've seen, I thought they were all on the same page.
And then Sean Payton yesterday, very hyper-aggressive.
He didn't feel good about it. He didn't feel good about it. And that could be a shot at the medical staff. That could be a shot at the GM. Whoever was involved with why they took so long before he got the surgery, they're all on the chopping block. It's just Michael Thomas that got the brunt of that from Coach Payton. The coach.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. Belichick loses Brady. The wheels come off. Breeze leaves the Saints.
Seeing the wheels come off.
It's like the franchise quarterback is a lot more than throwing the ball down the field. Like in this league, when you have a franchise quarterback.
So funny, because we're going to talk about that on the show today. They're the glue.
They are the glue.
They're the glue.
I mean, and by the way, the Saints and the Patriots are well run, and immediately the star leaves, and all of a sudden
it comes apart. You don't have the glue. And then now it starts to make the discussion points of what Aaron Rodgers said in his press conference way more relevant.
Yeah. LeVar Arrington, speak for yourself. Good seeing you, buddy.
Hey, always a pleasure.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
So Drew Brees was the stock of the New Orleans Saints.
Well, I mean, he, even though they won without him, there is something to be said about a symbolic leader. I mean, he was the soul of the Saints. Yeah. Of all the play, I mean, who's given the pregame speech? How many players have the Saints had that talk about Drew and get emotional?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen offensive linemen, 300-pound dudes at Bench Delaware, cry multiple times talking about Drew. These Bradys and these Drews, these are once-in-a-franchise guys that literally hold it all together.
Yep. So Matthew Stafford is getting a fresh start with the Rams this year. He has 12 NFL seasons under his belt already, but he said joining a new team has everything feeling new again.
Parts of the day, parts of me feel like a rookie. You know, I'm walking around trying to learn everybody's name and who does what and all that kind of stuff. So trying to perform at a high level in that atmosphere is a challenge, but I'm loving it.
By the way, he's lost weight.
I was about to say, he's a little, looking a little thinner in the face.
No question. That's what Los Angeles does. He's either having a colonoscopy this week, or he is just living the L.A. lifestyle.
So, I mean, that could be it. I don't know if he's old enough to do that yet. You know, you got to keep a little cushion in Detroit. It's a little colder up there.
Well,
you might want a little
pudding.
Yes.
A little extra prime rib.
Yeah.
He does look noticeably thinner.
He does, right? He's got, well, you can see the cheekbones.
Well, also, I think he realizes this is a really good culture.
Mm-hmm.
And not that he didn't work hard, but I would think if you're a young employee and you've worked at a company and you're a good employee, and then you go to Google, you kind of feel like, I got to step my game up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he wasn't a hard worker, and that's been the...
But it's different now.
...the scout on him. But yeah, I mean, maybe it's just he's in California, he's getting his hikes in, you know? But they have the best odds, according to Fox Bet, to win the NFC West.
They do.
They do, plus 175. I am going to put my dollars on the Seattle Seahawks.
A lot of this is who's the healthiest team
by
December.
Who's the healthiest team? But here's what I like about the Seahawks this year. They feel like the most stable coming into the season.
Right.
Cam Akers is a huge loss for the Rams.
I think it is.
Matthew Stafford, as he just mentioned, is new. So however talented he is, which I think we all think he is talented and kind of waiting to see what he does in a stable, functional organization with a good coach and good pieces around him, he does still need a running game. And right now, they don't really have one.
Right.
So that's a big question mark to me. San Francisco is going to be healthier than they were last year just by default.
Yeah.
But it's still Jimmy G, who is completely unreliable in the health space.
Yeah.
And if he does happen to go down, which would be predictably the case, you have a rookie quarterback who has not played football in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, I think he's going to be great in the future of the franchise, but that fact still remains this year. And we don't really know what the Cardinals are. I mean, they have they're plus 550 to win the division. So Fox Bet is saying we don't know what they are either. So I really think that the Seahawks are a good bet in that space. Yeah. So Aaron Rodgers spoke yesterday about everything that's going on between him and the Packers. I think we both think he pretty much nailed that. I would give it overall an A.
Yeah.
I don't think he lost it at any point.
No.
But I do think, you know, if you're in Green Bay, you're not going to receive the vacation line very well.
No, you're
even
not.
Even though that completely lacks self-awareness. But nobody likes to have jabs at their city.
Right.
So I can see that. But other than that, there wasn't really much else that I thought he didn't completely nail and perfectly articulate. Well, this morning, GM Brian Gutekunst said he responded to the comment about him being a lame duck quarterback.
Yeah, that's a hard one for me because I've never looked at it like that. Obviously, at the moment, he's got 3 years left on his contract, so we certainly don't look at it as a lame duck. We may alter that, but even at that stage, it's not going to be a one-year contract. So never looked at it like that. as you guys know, in this business, it's everything's year to year. But I've never looked at it as a lame duck situation with any player.
Well,
you're not going to, maybe publicly,
but you as know. We all know, because the NFL does not have guaranteed contracts, the guaranteed money is really the contract.
Yeah.
That's what matters in the NFL. That's why you negotiate so hard, because this is not a sport where the contract is fully guaranteed. So Rodgers' restructured deal is still being finalized. He's going to void the last deal of 2023 season. He'll have 2 years remaining on the four-year, $134 million contract extension he signed in 2018. The deal doesn't have any more guaranteed money. So the adjustments that are being made will shift his base salary and signing bonus, and the Packers will be able to save over $11 million on the cap in 2021 with the restructured contract. Again, I think both sides won here.
Yeah.
With the concessions. You have Aaron Rodgers in camp, which is number one. Like, Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. He's in training camp.
Yeah.
You got him back. Devontae Adams is now back at the table negotiating, which is important. I don't think the Randall Cobb move is really that big of a deal. I do think he's pricey, but I feel like he's like a Gronk type of addition. You're not expect. You have Devontae Adams. You have other receivers. You don't need him to be an every down high volume guy, which right. is not what he is anymore. But if he can make a couple big plays for you, if he can compensate or, you know, pick up when Devontae's being double teamed here and there.
Could you get 450 yards out of him? That would probably be a win. Now, for the salary you're paying him, you'd want 900 yards.
Sure.
Can you get half that in 9 games?
You've got Aaron happier than he was.
Yeah.
Everyone is moving forward with the season. I don't love it. There's a lot going on in the offseason to just, you know, put behind you and travel forward. But I do feel like Aaron Rodgers is as much of a competitor as he is. He's still going to put 100% into this season. And he actually needs to. If he wants to move on, I mean, there's going to be a market for him regardless. But he wants to have a good final season in Green Bay. I don't think he's going to mail it in just because it's been a little problematic. Finally, the Lakers are looking to boost their supporting cast this offseason, and they need to. And they've zeroed in on a potential target, according to Kevin O'Connor. The team has stepped up their efforts to make a trade for Buddy Hield,
3-point shooter
of the Kings. They're reportedly adding the 22nd pick in the draft to a deal that would include Montrezl Harrell and either Kyle Kuzma or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That is a lot, but they do need some shooting.
And they want to get rid of Trez. I know that.
Yes, and he's made the most 3-pointers in a single season in Kings history.
Yeah.
And he's only missed 3 games in his career.
Plays hard, shoots threes, limitations, I think, athletically and defensively, but in the end...
And he's always available.
Yep, yeah, and he shoots threes, and the Lakers don't have a ton of that. So it works.
And he's a veteran. He's a good locker room guy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad move. I mean, the Lakers have to be aggressive somewhere. It's just they're going to have to give up a significant amount to get him, which obviously the Kings are not going to let him walk. A few updates, though, for the draft. The Pistons have decided, according to Woj, to take Cade Cunningham with the first overall pick. So that puts everybody else on the clock at this point. And Shams also just tweeted the Pelicans traded the 53rd pick in the draft to the Sixers for $2 million in cash, which begins to set the rate for purchasing a pick in tonight's draft. So moves are already starting to be made.
All right, Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Law. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I bring him on once or twice a year, super smart Rashad Phillips. He's an NBA and NCAA prospect specialist, played for 8 different countries overseas, tremendous college basketball player, owner of Sports Talk 2319. When it comes to the draft, he's the Yoda. He breaks it all down. And Rashad Phillips in Atlanta joining us live. All right, let's get to it. I would make my number one pick if it was me. I love Jalen Suggs. He was a football player. He's big. He's physical. He can score. He can shoot. I just think he's a guy I want running my franchise. Let's talk about Jalen Suggs, though. What is your feeling on him? Strengths, weaknesses?
I think he's a phenomenal player. And I talk from the leadership standpoint first. Obviously, being a former standout quarterback, he already comes with the qualities of being a great leader. His competitive nature, his will to win, play through injuries. That's what I love about him. Now, there's questions about his jump shooting and about his initiation. But when you just look at this kid overall, he's a can't-miss prospect because, again, the leadership and the way he carries himself, it just speaks for itself.
Cade Cunningham, according to Woj, will go number one to Detroit. Now, it's interesting. He's a 6'8 point, so he jumps off the TV screen in college. He's just like magic. He just looks different than other kids. But when I watch him, I don't see a great athlete. Does that worry you at all?
Doesn't worry me at all, Colin, because there's an attribute that we don't put in scouting reports that should be in scouting reports, and that's craftiness. When you look at Cade Cunningham, what he brings to the table is a player that's super IQ. He understands angles. He can get places on the court. He doesn't have to beat you with speed and athleticism, but he beats you with great quickness and shift. He knows how to get around guys and using that 6'8 frame and being physical, he's a terrific pick for the Detroit Pistons. Reminds me of Grant Hill.
Okay, now the kid that's obvious, you can just see on the film, Jalen Green is, wow, Ja Morant athletic. What do you like? What would you worry about with Jalen Green? Because he'll go in the top four.
Jalen Green is the best athlete. He's the most dynamic player in this draft. When you watch him on tape, it just screams at you. This kid has some Zach LaVine fabric. He gets in the lane. He's terrific over the defense. He flies over people. This is a player that I want to pay my hard-earned money to watch play. He's that exciting. Now, here's the things that I'm hearing from a lot of scouts. Can he stay consistent? Can he consistently knock down jump shots? I can answer that for you. I believe he will be one of the most exciting rookies that we've ever seen.
All right, let's go to a guy I've seen a lot of, Evan Mobley. About a year and a half ago, he was considered a second rounder. A year ago, he was a late first. Now there's arguments he could go number two. The people compare him to Chris Bosh. When I watched him, my takeaway was he's what modern bigs look like. He can run the floor. He's got soft hands. What do you make of him as a prospect?
Yeah, he's what I call a hybrid post. I mean, a rim runner. He has a terrific a skill set. He can knock down shots from the perimeter. He can catch the alley-oop. But the most important thing about Mobley is when you look at today's NBA, the bigs have to be able to switch out on those terrific perimeter scores in the NBA. I believe that Mobley can use his versatility on the defensive side of the ball and be an anchor. And he will be able to guard the perimeter. That's what makes him so attractive to NBA teams.
Okay, is there a player in this draft? It's a lot of American kids. It's not as international in the top 15 picks as usual. So is there a player that you think is a little under the radar that is not getting quite the pub? Because you've done this before. You've hit on some gems. You know, a lot of people, myself included, I doubted Trae Young. You loved Trae Young. You thought he was going to take over, and he did this year in the playoffs. Who's somebody out there you're like, you know what? People aren't seeing what I'm seeing.
There's two kids that stand out for me. One is Cam Thomas from LSU. I mean, this kid is fantastic. When you look at Cam Thomas, he has a dominant skill trait. And when a kid has a dominant skill trait, as an NBA team, you echo that skill trait, which is scoring the basketball. There's not enough second unit scores in the NBA. Cam Thomas epitomizes scoring the ball. Now, secondly, the other player is Trey Murphy out of Virginia. He's a kid that can knock down shots. Colin, he's a 50-40-90 player. He's a stretch big, has some Robert Horry type of fabric to him, 6'9", 6'8", can put it on the floor, but he's a shot maker. He's a shot taker. I look for him to be exciting as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Is there, if I said overall, it looks like to me there's some really good guards. And I think, you know, it's funny. I think it's a guard wing lead, and then all of a sudden Giannis takes it over. Is there anything about this draft? It looks like a very deep draft to me. Compare it to last year, the year before, the talent.
Yeah, this is a deep draft. I mean, I can go deep into the second round and find players that will maybe impact the NBA right away. I mean, you look at Jason Preston and, out of Ohio. There's just so many kids. And this is about the evolution of basketball. Like, we're watching evolution right before our eyes. Each year, the draft is going to get deeper and deeper because the kids get better and better. That's what we're witnessing.
Yeah, the bigs now can handle the ball. If you had the number one pick and you were Detroit looking at their roster, who would you pick and why, Rashad?
Look, I'm from Detroit. It's my hometown. I would have to go with Cade Cunningham because I lived through the Grant Hill era, and I believe Cade Cunningham will bring back the ghost of Grant Hill. He's not as explosive as Grant Hill. He's not as quick as Grant Hill, but he has the magnetism. He has the aura. He will be a phenomenal locker room presence. This kid studies film. He's a gym rat. That's what Detroit basketball is all about. They're getting off to the right start by grabbing this kid. He's tremendous.
You know, it seems to me most of these kids now are much savvier than years ago. I mean, it's really funny, the fact that they're watching film now. I'm like, that to me is remarkable. Has it changed in the 8-9 years you've been doing this?
Yeah, it just seems like, again, the kids are bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they jump higher. And it's funny, though, you know, like, I feel like a dinosaur. I haven't played in so long. I'm watching all these new type of players. I think it's just going to get richer and richer, which is great for the game. It's global now. And the NBA is as strong as it's ever been. I'm excited to just continue to watch it.
Yeah. All right. Rashad Phillips, NBA college basketball prospect specialist. I lean on him. He's terrific. You can follow him on Twitter. One of One podcast with Rashad. So he'd go with Cade Cunningham, who I think Woj said today that looks like their pick, unless they make a big trade, and we shall see. Okay, Rashad, it's great as always. You do amazing work, and I trust your opinion, and thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Colin. Talk soon. Tell Joy I say hello.
All right, Joy, he said hello.
Hello.
Knows his stuff. It's fun. I mean, drafts are fun.
Yes, they are fun. We love watching the reactions, and we talk about this with the NFL draft all the time. It's just hope. It's the best kind of hope.
He said for a couple players, I like Jalen Suggs, and he said, I'm not sure about his jump shot. That's the thing I always defend players. There's stuff I can't coach. Passion, length, twitchiness. But I always defend players when, like, he can't shoot yet. And I always say this. Ray Allen came into the league as an athlete, not a great shooter. Shooting is repetition. Shooting is confidence. I mean, look at Giannis.
It's also strength and development as well.
Yeah. So when they say, you know, the guy's got everything, I don't know about a shot, unless it's Markelle Fultz, which just didn't work, or Ben Simmons, where they're saying, you know, we don't know if he's shooting with the right hand. Jalen Suggs to me, he's my favorite player, not because the others aren't good, but the football quarterback thing matters. He's had to run a team. He's been bounced around.
He is callous and tough in his body.
And he went into a good basketball program and was coached very hard in Gonzaga. So very exciting tonight. Visit mbusa.com/AMG. It's what I drive. Mercedes AMG coupes, sedans, or SUVs could be right for you. Mercedes AMG driving performance. I'm off tomorrow, back Monday. Speak for Yourself is coming up next.